Good evening. It's good to be with you. I was just beginning to hear some of the things that happened at the Sweetheart Banquet. I still look forward to hearing some things, especially about the Trivial Pursuit game. Some explanations, maybe. But as always, it's good to see you with your smiles. I wanted tonight to return to a passage that's familiar to you, it's familiar to me. It was one that I normally relate to in Romans 12 with the backdrop of a community back in the 1880s down to the 1940s. It was Willow Grove. It was a place where my grandmother and my grandfather grew up, a small farming community. But they would take Romans 12, and very early in that church's history, they would memorize the preacher's encouragement. My grandmother, I believe, recited it before she went to bed every night until she died in the mid-90s. But today, I want to change that backdrop a little bit. I'll change it to looking back 50 years ago. At a less harmonious time. Because back then it seemed to describe the way that that community lived with one another. But the time frame, the backdrop that I want to use today takes us back into the middle of the Civil Rights Movement. When things were not harmonious. When there was great strife and difficulty, and when these were tough words to live by. And I do this for a reason, because I sense it is my, as we turn over history to the next generation that, if they're pro-life, or take a Christian view on life, their view is not considered in line with public policy. Or if they affirm a biblical view of marriage, they could be considered intolerant, bigoted, or even hate speech. To even believe in God the Creator is to admit you're not prepared to face the future scientifically. So it's a difficult in preparation, but I want to go back. But this is a time in which a generation of men and women stood up to be recognized with their rights. Their rights as Americans, their rights to be treated as human, rights when those who they pursued that right from hated, despised them, feared them. But I think there's a lesson to be learned. So let's begin. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Mercy, do it cheerfully. And picking up in verse 6, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is encouraging, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Some of the things, and this is the danger with me. I go back 50 years, I run out of history. I didn't see it. I can watch things. I can read news clips, newsreels, things like that. Some of the things that I've been exposed to recently, and maybe you've seen it too, was the button. But what I saw in that was people that used this chapter, used this book, to not raise a hand or a stick, but to raise love, to challenge us with love, using a nonviolent civil disobedience, yes. And as we read these first three, I looked at Martin Luther King and some of his writings, some of his quotes. Here is one that came to mind. If a man is called to be a street sweeper, he should sweep streets even as Michelangelo painted, or Beethoven composed music, or Shakespeare wrote poetry. He should sweep streets so well that all the host of heaven and earth will pause to say, here lived a great street sweeper who did his job well. Now that's not completely original, is it? For we know Jesus knelt down and washed his disciples' feet. Jesus, the servant. But Martin Luther in another quote says, everybody can be great because anyone can serve. He recognizes the power of service. You don't have to have a college degree to serve. You don't have to make your subject and your verb agree to serve. You only need a heart full of grace, a soul generated by love. We pick back up into Romans chapter 12 and verse 9. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor. Serving the Lord, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Here I see in this passage the power of love, sincere love. But still that hate of evil, but still loving people. These are things that Jesus taught. This is the way and the power that Jesus taught. He taught his disciples. You see, we've been studying the book of Acts. And we've been looking at church after church that was established. And we look at the letters that Paul may write back. And each time he tells the people, although you have been persecuted, although you have undergone great suffering, although you have been treated unjustly, live in peace. Love. Live in harmony. No retaliation. And Paul, each time as he picks himself up from a city and somehow he finds the courage and the energy to go to another city and start it all over again, spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ, but knowing the power that it has, knowing and relaying that, the power of transformative love. Here, as Paul continues in the book of Romans, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Let me add a few more quotes from Martin Luther King. Just pause for a moment. Only in the darkness can you see the stars. Or as we've said in our Sunday morning class, the light is brightest when it's really darkest. People can see the contrast of darkness and light, of love and hate, because wherever the gospel has been going, it's stirred up people. There have been riots and hatred on one end. And there's been peace and joy and love on the other. The contrast is staggering. Let's continue. As Martin Luther King said, I have decided to stick to love. Hate is too great a burden to bear. We've seen people consumed with hate. They live for hate. Hate is what drives them. Why, how can you hate that much? How can you not forgive? Or see love. Continuing again, darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. And finally, let no man pull you so low as to hate him. Part of what I want to accomplish is to give credit where credit is due. Martin Luther King, where did you find these great sayings? Some people want to give Gandhi credit for the nonviolence movement. Was it not the gospel of Jesus Christ? Was it not when, as we find in Matthew 5, verse 43, you have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? If you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. I like the way Martin Luther King expounded on this. So now there is a final lesson, I think, that Jesus says, love your enemies. It is this, that love has within it a redemptive power. And there is a power there that eventually transforms individuals. Just keep being friendly to that person. Just keep loving them. And they can't stand it too long. Oh, they react in many ways. In the beginning, they react with guilt feelings. And sometimes they'll hate you a little more at that transition period. Just keep loving them. And by the power of your love, they will break down under the load. That's love. That's love, you see. It is redemptive. And this is why Jesus says love. There's something about love that builds up and is creative, not destructive. There is something about hate that tears down and is destructive. So love your enemies. And let me say, as I watch my own children grow up, as I've seen them respond to various times in history, especially within the civil rights movement, and I've seen them just shake with disbelief. How could someone have treated another human being that way? And it was in second grade, was the series that they talk about Rosa Parks. And those little second graders just shiver. And it just, you can just imagine the expressions on their faces, and they just can't believe that someone would treat someone that way. But let me say thank you to a generation that did change things, that transformed us and did it with love, and reminded us still today the power of love, the power that Jesus Christ was talking about. Because I see my kids and I say, really? Can you be that colorblind? Do you not see it? And you don't want them to? That's not what I'm saying. But I'm like, they grew up in a world where they didn't understand the past. It's incomprehensible. And still looking at it today, I said, how? And I want to say, I'm sorry. It's too close. 50 years ago, it wasn't that long. And I know there's still things to be done. I know not all of the injustices have been worked out. But can we acknowledge and say thank you to a generation that showed us through love what we should be? So that we are better today than we were a generation ago in that regard. And I'm humbled by that. But I'm also reminded and convicted that there's still power, as there always has been, in the gospel of Jesus Christ and His love. There is hope. Because if hate can become, you've got a problem too. So as I like to say in our Sunday morning class, are we studying the right book? Oh, yes. Is it applicable today? Are you feeling more of a camaraderie or a oneness with even the first century church? I don't know where things are going. You don't either. I pray for a great tomorrow. I look for hope and joy. I want to see God's glory spread throughout the world. I want my kids to enjoy that. But maybe it'll be a little bit tougher for a while. Maybe they've got some struggles in it. We can encourage them.
We can tell. You're studying, right? You're in tune with the power. Keep on loving. Keep on praying. Let's end the word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your love, your mercy, your grace. Lord, we thank you for those special people that you surround us with, that do incredible things, that live lives of service, that seem to never complain, but look to you in all that they say and all that they do, who are filled with love, joy, and peace, and spread it to everyone as if it were something you could catch that will infect you. So often it does. Lord, help us to be like that. Help us to be known as a people who love and love deeply and who love their enemies and pray for those who persecute them. But never, never turn to hate. Always turn to love. We ask your special blessing on this next generation of young people growing up. May they be rich and study in your word, know your ways. May we encourage them and give them every opportunity to succeed. May we constantly continue to be in prayer. We ask your blessing on this church as it strives to be a light in this dark world. Help us to be more effective. Help us to be more passionate, to have more zeal for your word, spreading the gospel. We ask all this in your Son's name. Amen. Go to that last picture before we go. The last picture.